Parshas Vayishlach. In the past, we spoke about Behavek Ish Imo, Behavoko Imo, and the Lashon Avak, and the Gemara in Masech Tachulin, Amar Rabbi Yeshua Ben Levi, Malamed Shehelu Avak Miraglosam Ad Kisei Hakavod. Chazal say that this encounter between the angel and Yaakov Avinu was indeed the encounter between Sorah Shel Esav, Samael, who is trying to undermine Yaakov Avinu, and Yaakov Avinu through the night. The Torah says in Perek Lamed Gimel, in Parshas Vayishlach, Vayatsev Shom Mizbeach, Vayikrolo Kel Elokei Yisrael. And there's a certain ambiguity in the pasuk. We're not sure exactly who's calling whom what. Yaakov sets up a Mizbeach, and Vayikra lo is a pronoun. Well, to whom is he calling, and who is calling? So if we understand B'Pashas Vayikra lo, that he's calling the Mizbeach by a name, that's very strange that he would call a Mizbeach a name of Kel or Kei Yisrael. And the Gemara Megillah, Madaf Yud Ches, Omer of Acham, Rav Lozor, Minayin Shekoro, HaKadosh Baruch Hu Yaakov Kel. HaKadosh Baruch himself called Yaakov Kel. Kel means the mighty one. It's like a divine figure. Shedemar, Vayikra lo Kel Elokei Yisrael. Yisal Kedaitu Mizbeach Koro Le Yaakov Kel. Vayikra lo Yaakov Miboile. Why was the name of the active persona omitted? It should have said Vayikra lo Yaakov. This is an outstanding omission. It's very high profile. Why did the Torah leave out Yaakov here? El vayikra lo li Yaakov Kel. Umi karo Kel al Kei Yisrael. So we have now a pasuk in Parshas Vayishlach which elevates the status of Yaakov to that status of a divine being, so to speak. Kaviyochel is Kel. Now, earlier in Parshas Vayishlach, in the encounter between Yaakov and the Sorah Shel Esav, the pasuk says in Vayishlach, Perek Lamed Beis, pasuk Chavav, Vayar Ki Lo Yochalo, the Malach realizes that he's not successful, this Sorah Shel Esav, to overwhelm Yaakov. Vayiga b'kaf yirecho, Vateka kaf yirecho, kach yerech Yaakov. So a few questions that we could ask here just to clarify what exactly is going on here. Why did the Sorah Shel Esav anticipate that during the course of this battle, this nightly battle, he would be able to overcome Yaakov? Then Vayar, all of a sudden he realizes, no, he's not able to, he cannot be successful. And then Vayiga b'kaf yirecho, what's significance here of kaf yirecho? And then, of course, does Yaakov deserve this kind of attack and this kind of punishment, this injury? How long was he injured? Many, many questions that arise. Let's take a look at the Medrash Tanchuma HaYoshan, which is quoted, we'll see, later on in the Rabbeinu Bachai. Kol osa laila he'avko his'avku ha'malach im Yaakov v'lo yochalo. Omar ha'malach, shema ze malach kamosi. During the course of the night, the Sorah Shel Esav was under the impression that if Yaakov is mortal flesh and blood, if he's a human being, and he's guilty of sin, then certainly a Malach is more powerful than a human being, and he can overcome a human being. But now, during the course of the night, the Malach sees that his efforts have failed. Shema ze Malach kamosi. Maybe I'm fighting with someone that's not a human being. He's a malach. He belongs to the celestial spheres. He's spiritual. Era imu malach olo. So the Medrash says that at this point, which is with daybreak, at the end of this long night in battle, the malach says, I will check out and see if he's a malach or not. Miad noga malach bar kavosav shal Yaakov lahavchin im yesh lo kfitzas kaf. So there's something here called kfitzas kaf. Kvitzas kaf means if you touch in a certain place in the thigh, then the body jumps. It's almost an automatic response. We call it a knee-jerk response. And that's something that's unique to human beings. A malach does not have kfitzas kaf. And therefore, a malach, for example, cannot sit. The pasuk says in Zechariah v'nasati l'cha mahalchim bein ha'om dima'ele, the malach is always called an omed, he stands, he doesn't have the ability to sit. Man's ability to sit is based on a certain shape in the chulios, in the way his bones are shaped, his legs are shaped. This is not appropriate, this is not imaged by the malach. Is hirgish hamalach sheyesh liyakov kfitzas kaf. Once the malach squeezed Yaakov in his calf, and Yaakov had this kvitza, it was clear now to the malach that Yaakov is a human being. Omar, vaday odomu, elech ve'eka kaf yirecho. He starts on the yerech with this kvitza's calf, so to speak. Maybe it's a little bit lower down because the Medrash talks about arkavosov. That's closer to the knee. And when he notices that Yaakov has this kfitza, and he realizes that Yaakov is a human being, the malach is able to overwhelm Yaakov. Because now it's clear that the malach is a malach, and Yaakov is a ben adam. He's a human being. He's finite, he's mortal, he's flesh and blood. So once hirgish hamalach sheyesh liyaakov kfitzas kaf omar, he declares, Vadai Adamhu. He's a human being. He's limited. He's finite. Eilech ve'ek ha'kaf yirecho. I could go even further. And moving up from the lower part of the leg to the higher part of the, from the knee area to the thigh. At that point, he, the malach, injures Yaakov. But what exactly, you see, the Medrash is not... does not answer our questions in any clear, precise way. We're still left trying to fish around and figure out why during the whole night the malach was not able to be successful against Yaakov, and then at this point with daybreak he's able to injure Yaakov Avinu. What we do get from this medrash, which is a very important point that we want to build on, is that the malach throughout the night was perplexed and confused about the nature of and the status of Yaakov. Was he a human being or was he a malach? Did he belong to this world down here, the finite world, or to the upper worlds? And when the malach discovered that Yaakov Avinu is indeed a human being, we'll have to see what that humanness means and how it expresses itself, then the malach is able to defeat Yaakov. Not exactly to defeat Yaakov, that's a too extreme of a term, but at least to injure Yaakov. And again, we still don't know what happened during this Mahol Mahalach during the night and with daybreak, and is Yaakov a human being? Why did the Malach think he was an angel? And why Kaf Yerech Yaakov? Is there some deeper, infinite significance in that injury? Let's take a look for a moment at the Baal HaTurim. On Vayiga Bekaf Yerecho, he bases himself on this Medrash Tanchuma that we saw. Liros Imhu Malach Kamoso Imhoyulo Kfotzim or Kofzim Kfitzas Kaf Shamalach Melem Kfotzim. So, according to the Baal HaTurim in his first explanation, we'll soon see his second, basically reformulating what we saw in the Medrash Tanchuma, the Malach was convinced throughout the night that Yaakov was a malach, but only when he found out that Yeshel Kfatzim and Malachim Einlem Kfatzim, at that point Vayiga B'Kaf Yerecho, because he realized the malach that Yaakov is not an angel but rather a human being. Now, according to Baal HaTurim, which is a little bit different than the Medrash Tanchuma's version, it seems that Vayiga B'Kaf Yerecho was not a result of the declaration, you know, post declaration that the malach all of a sudden becomes aware and acknowledges that Yaakov is man, and then vayiga b'kaf yirecho, but rather vayiga b'kaf yirecho in the Baal HaTurim's reference is the method by which the malach establishes that Yaakov is a human being. Inami, Inami meaning an alternative answer to the question of why Vayiga Bekaf Yurecha. The first answer of the Baal Turim is because that's where he expected to either see Yaakov with Kfatzim or without Kfatzim. And that was the place, what we call a pressure point in the body, where he would see if Yaakov Avinu would jump in a situation where if Yaakov had been a Mal, he would not respond, he would not jump. But now we have another explanation about Vayiga Bekaf Yurecha. Inami says the Baal HaTurim, another possible explanation as to why the attack of the Malach was at the Kaf Yurecho is Leposlo Mina Kahuna or Mina Avoda. In other words, Yaakov Avinu was dedicated to the Avoda, and the Malach wanted to disqualify Yaakov from being an Oved in the Migdash. Now, why is this so important? Why is the Malach singly focused on this goal or this agenda of pasaling Yaakov min Hakuna? Says the Baal HaTurim, Lefi shekana me'esav ha-bechora. What did Yaakov take away from Esav, the bechora? And what is the bechora? What is its significance? Shebehen avoda, that the bechorim are dedicated to the avoda in the Beis HaMikdash. And that's what Yaakov took away from Esav. So to mete out revenge against Yaakov and make it paradoxical that Yaakov would have done what he did to steal the brachas and become and acquire the avoda. Now he's puzzled from the avoda, and that's what the Malach wants to accomplish with Kaf Yurecho. The Baal Turim even strengthens this in his Kedarko Bakodesh, and he says that Bekaf Yurecho has the same gematria as Leposlo Mikuhuna. This would be the ultimate revenge of the Sarashal Esav against Yaakov Avinu, pasling him from Kuhuna. Again, you're still left a little bit confused. There are many different ways of injuring a person and pasling him in a Kuhuna, but this was the way that the Malach of Esav wanted to pasul Yaakov min HaKuhuna. I have here on this page of Maror Makomos from Rav Gladstein a quote from the Tzedol Derech. And later on in Yirtzeh Hashem, if we have a chance, we'll tell you who the Tzedol Derech was. But it's an ancient sefer. And after mentioning that according to our rabbis, according to Chazal, this Malach was the Sarshal Esav, he wants to analyze now what was the goal, the agenda of the Sarshal Esav. And he has two interpretations. The first one, which is the bulk of this presentation, is based on Rav Ashkenazi. He says, HaChochma Mufla, and he says the following, that l'chora it's not clear what was the kavana, what was the purpose of Sarashal Esav. What did he want to accomplish? And even though it seems from the parasha that the Malach failed and he did not overwhelm Yaakov, but what was his original kavana? Had he achieved his goal, Chasham, what would have been his goal? And what is the inyan here of Pegiyas HaYireach? Why the Areach? So this Chacham Mufla says the following, that when Esav sells the Bechora to Yaakov, there's got, and he also even takes a Shruah to that effect, there's got to be a Shtar, a document that's written up to testify that this transaction took place. Why? Shekol kinyan l'ksiva omed. We have a principle that any kinyan, especially a kinyan of this great significance, lends itself to ksiva, meaning the Edom are allowed to write this down in a document. And this document will forever testify about the mechira. So the lokeach could never be accused of stealing. He has a valid sale of a contract of sale. And how much more so in a case where there was a shvuah. So we see that this kinyan was a full-fledged kinyan that was strengthened by an oath. And therefore there was a shtar that was written up to testify on behalf of Yaakov of his claim to the Bechora. And now we have a sugya Bava Basra called Shmiras Hashtar, that if you have a shtar, a document of significance, you don't want to just leave it around. Somebody might steal it. It might get lost. So what we want to have is some sort of system of Shmiras Hashtar. And the Gemara establishes in Perek Yeshnochlin, in Bava Basra, and also you'll see it in Perek Misha Meis, that Nimtzu Daitaki Kshura Al Yerecho, that what they very often did was they took a shtar, Daitaki probably is referring to some sort of refund or testimony that the money that was owed was paid, the debt was paid up, so you get a shtar. And that was tied where? Where would you tie it on your body to make sure it's attached to your body for security purposes? Nobody can take it. On the urethra. On the thigh. Who can get into the thigh? It's all covered up. And this is what Yaakov did. Yaakov took the shtar, and in order to be mekayim shmiras hashtar, he tied it to his yerech. So the shtar mechira on the very bechora from Esav to Yaakov is now tied to Yaakov's thigh. And now at this point, we can begin to explain what the Sarah Shal Esav was after. What was his goal? He wanted to get back that shtar kinyan on the Bechorah. Yaakov Avinu was holding on to the shtar, testifying to the acquisition of the Bechorah from Esav, and it was tied to his Yerech. And the Sarah Shal Esav wanted to take that shtar from his hands. There's going to be a contention over the Bechora even after it's sold. Esav is still after the Bechora. And says HaChokhma Mufla Lekach Noga Al Yerecho. The goal here of the Malach, the Sarah Shal Esav, was to touch the thigh and somehow pull out the shtar from the thigh of Yaakov. However, he was not successful. And time again, try as he might, the Malach was unsuccessful in ripping out the shtar from Yaakov's possession. You have battled against God, a godly figure, a Malach, and you've succeeded. We're not able to pull the shtar out of your possession. And this probably indicates the intense desire of Yaakov and his attachment to the shtar, because the shtar represented the Bechorah, and the Bechorah was dedicated to the Avodah. And this is basically the admission, the confession of the Malach when he says, Nitzachto, see, you've won, you've defeated me, because the shtar is still in your hands. That's the first interpretation. Other Mefarshim, he quotes the second interpretation, Pirshu, based on the Medrash, that why did the Tsar of Esav come? What was his chance, or he was holding out for some success to defeat Yaakov? How would he defeat Yaakov? And the answer is because Yaakov had a chet. Yaakov was guilty of a sin. He married two sisters. And if he married two sisters, then Yaakov is guilty of a sin. The Torah joins us to marry two sisters, and now Sarah Shal Esav believes that he can overwhelm Yaakov. In Kain Yodo Ochezes Be Akev Esav. And Zeo Shomar Vayiga Bekaf Yerecho. You know, it's Vayiga Bekaf Yerecho is because Yaakov Avinu was married to two sisters. So perhaps we could suggest the following, that according to the second interpretation of the Shar HaMefarshim that's quoted here, the goal of the Sarah Shal Esav was to condemn Yaakov for some sin. And during the course of the evening, the Malach was at loss for finding any sin. Yaakov was perfect. Until somehow when the end of the night came, the Sar Shalesa revealed that Yaakov is guilty, in fact, of a sin. One single sin. And that's marrying two sisters. So it's not the way we saw it in the first pshat of the Chacham HaMufla, Rav Ashkenazi, that the battle was over the Bechorah, essentially, and here was round two in which Esav, through his Malach, was trying to contend and to get the Bechorah back. But rather, what's at stake over here is a sin of Yaakov Avinu, meaning what the Malach is looking for is not the Shtar Kinyan on that would testify about the Bechirah, the Bechorah, but rather was looking for a way of condemning Yaakov. If Yaakov could be condemned, I mean, connect that with what we saw earlier in the Medrash Tanchuma, that the Malach was Nispal. He didn't know. He was confused. Is this a Malach like me, or is he a human being? And the answer is, if he's so perfect that he hasn't sinned, then that proves that he belongs to a different sphere, that he's not a regular human being. And that is all an extension of what we saw at the beginning, Vayatzev Shom Mizbeach, Vayikra Lo, Kel Elokei Yisrael. Hashem himself declares Yaakov to be a Kel. And if he's a Kel, then how can we defeat him? He's too mighty, unless we can find some sin. And if Yaakov is guilty of some sin, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not going to be so keen to protect Yaakov Avinu. He's not that perfect individual. He's human flesh and blood, and he's not infallible. He's guilty of sin. And that, according to the Shaar Mefarshim here, is the reason why the Malach was able to injure Yaakov Avinu, because Yaakov was guilty of marrying two sisters. Now this issue, if I could call this sugya, about Yaakov marrying two sisters, Rachel and Leah, which is a violation of a very severe Isser in the Torah, and how Yaakov did it, this is a very heavy sugya. But what we do see here in the name of the Shaar Mefarshim is that Yaakov was guilty of sin, and which sin? Of marrying two sisters. And that concept is brought out explicitly in the words of the Rabbeinu Bechai here in our parasha. First he quotes the Medrash, by Avek Ish Imo, and Nismali Avaka Ish Hashaya Imo, Vesar Shalaysav Haya. Fine. Hadover Yadua, says Rabbeinu Bechai, Ki Lule HaAvon Lohaya Hefresh Bein Adam LaMalach. If man is not guilty of sin, then he's a Malach. Avol Yeh Gadol Mimena, but man is rather greater than a Malach because of all the temptations of mortal flesh and blood. Shenemar Gdolim Tzadikim Yosef Mimalachi Asharis. That Tzadikim were a clear-cut record, including all the abilities to be angelic, almost divine. But comes along the Malach, and the Malach says, what's going on? If there's no Avon, then what's the difference between me, a Malach, and Yaakov and Ben Adam? Really, we're all the same. We're all Malachim. Gedolim Tzadikim Yosef Malachim. I mean, and human beings with all their flesh and blood and challenges in life are even greater than Malachim. It shows how could the Malach of Esav even dream about contending and antagonizing and injuring Yaakov Avinu? Oh, so the answer is that the Malach is looking for one weak link here in Yaakov Avinu, one sin. Is Vayar Ki Lo Yochalo. Says Rabbeinu Chai, Klomar Lo Hoye Lo Yecholes Lizgaber Olav Mitzad Shum Avon, Rak Mitzad Avon Shtei Achyo Shenosa Bechayem. That's the only guilt, the only criminal act that we can find Yaakov guilty of. Rabbeinu Chai closes this presentation with the words, Vayiga Bekaf Yerecho Vahoye Ha'onish Bebokom Achet. Some of the Yerech is close to the reproductive organs, and that's the marriage between Yaakov and two sisters, and Yaakov is guilty of violating this Issa. We have now two explicit sources to explain why and how the Malach was able to overwhelm Yaakov and be Pogeh B'Kaf Yerecho. We have the name of the Mefarshim, that Yaakov was found guilty of this crime of marrying two sisters. And now we have Rabbeinu Bechai, who says this explicitly, besides Zeh HaAvon, She nosa shtei achios b'chayehen. Now, not all of the Mefarshim, I'm not going to try to sell you that, are convinced that Yaakov was guilty of any sort of sin by marrying two sisters. Far from it. But we do have the Mefarshim and Rabbeinu Bechai explicitly, so that does give us some sort of inclination that Yaakov was guilty of a crime of marrying two sisters. The Shalach HaKadosh, here in Parashas Vayishlach, goes out of his way to prove that although Yaakov Avinu technically might not have been in violation of Shtei Achil, so we'll explain why, but nevertheless, on his level, Yaakov Avinu could be taken to task even for such a quasi-sin, which is not a real sin. The Ramban says for sure it wasn't a sin, and the Shalach quotes the Ramban as saying that this Malach of Esav could not find any sin in Yaakov, because even though Yaakov married two sisters, and the Ovos from Makabel al Atzmon l'kayim kol tarakul kom shenitna, but says the Ramban on the Pasuk, Ekev asher shoma Avram bekoli vayishmar mishmarti mitzvosei chukosei v'sorosai, and that applies in kiyam mitzvos mishpat elokei ha'aretz, in the aretz. So that Yaakov Avinu is accepting as his forefathers Avram and Yitzchak before him to be committed to shmiras ha-mitzvos and shmiras ha-mishpatim. Nevertheless, that commitment on Yaakov's part was limited on a geographic basis only to the land of Israel, not outside the land. Now, when Yaakov comes back from Beis Lavan with two wives, does he enter into the land with two wives? That would be a problem, according to the Ramban. But the answer is, Meisalai Baderech, that in our parasha, Rachel dies before Yaakov Avinu actually enters into the land. And therefore, Yaakov was never guilty of marrying two sisters. However, Mikol Makom, says the Shalach, Kitreg Samuel al Yaakov, there was still room for some sort of prosecution against Yaakov at the hands of Samuel, who is Saro Shalisa. So it's interesting, according to the letter of the law, Yaakov Avinu's commitment or self-acceptance of the mitzvos would not be relevant to marrying Rachel Leah. And the reason for that is because he married Rachel Leah in Chutzos. What about when he comes to Eretz Yisrael? But the truth is, there was never a moment where he came to Eretz Yisrael with two sisters, with marrying two sisters, because she, Rachel, died before the entrance into Beit Lechem, before they got into Eretz Yisrael. So once again, just to emphasize, when Yaakov accepted upon himself the mitzvah, that was only in Chutzos, and therefore, according to Ramban, there is no aveira here of marrying two sisters. However, the kitchug of Samuel on Yaakov is because Ish kamo asher tzuroso chakuka b'kisei hakavod adam chashuv kamo shayni lo hayelo lifkom afilu b'chutzlaretz. His level, Yaakov Avinu, was so uplifted, it's on the level of Eretz Yisrael, as if Yaakov was already in the land, even though he wasn't in the land. And the language of the Shalach is fascinating when he writes, Ki Yaakov bechol makom shehu sham hu avira d'Eretz Yisrael. It's as if to say Yaakov takes Eretz Yisrael with him. It's like it reminds the Chazal about Batei Knesios and Chutzar. It's like Eretz Yisrael. They almost like have a din of Eretz Yisrael. In other words, Yaakov Avinu, even in Chutzar, is taken to task for marrying two sisters. For Yaakov Avinu, on one level, being in Chutzar is irrelevant. It's like he's in Eretz Yisrael because of his level. And that is indicated, this high level, by the fact that Dmus Diukno Kshura B'Kisei HaKavod. So again, even though technically, according to the Shalach, there is no Avera over here, but nevertheless, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to consider it Avak Avera. And once again, we have another meaning and shed another light on this Vayovek Ish Imo about the Avak that goes all the way up to the heavens.
The avak is symbolic of a whole group, a whole category of averos called avak averos, like avak ribis and avak zela, avak lashon hara. All these avaks mean that you don't really violate the isur per se, but you should have avoided what you did. That's called avak. And this is what the Malach finds in Yaakov to be condemnable, that Yaakov could be condemned about the avak. And what avak is that? We're talking about avak of arayos, of marrying two sisters. Hakitrugi says, Me'avak avera shall ish kamo shechokuk b'kiseh, because he's on such a high level and we demand a more harsh punishment for even what would not be an avera technically. Because again, Yaakov was never married to two sisters in Eretz Yisrael, but only in Chutz Laretz. But kol ha-kitrug hazeh lo shav reikam, and there is a kitrug here, there is some condemnation of Yaakov Avinu for the sin of marrying two sisters. It's avak erva, avak arayis. And we see other examples of perhaps the punishment that was meted out to Yaakov Avinu. For example, Nenashdina Shenilkacha Liyeshes Znunim. In other words, if Yaakov Avinu is guilty of and the kitrug on Yaakov is in the area of marital relations, and the two sisters that he married, then the punishment ends up in Dina, and that's also in the area of marriage relationship. She's taken as if she were a Zona, Shenemar Kazona, Tasa Sachusenu. And he goes on to speak about other arayas in which Reuven is Vayishkav as Bila, Pilegesh Aviv, and all these cases are cases of punishment against Yaakov, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu is very careful and demanding of Yaakov, even though technically there was no avera, he was permitted to marry two sisters in Chutz Laretz, and he never was in fact married to two sisters simultaneously in Eretz Yisrael. But once again, whether you call it an avon, the way we saw in the Tzedek L'derech, or the Rabbeinu Bechai, or you call it some sort of dikduk of HaKadosh Baruch Hu for the level of Yaakov Avinu, the bottom line is there is some sort of an avera here that Yaakov is guilty of by marrying two sisters. Whether you call it avak, whether you want to call it an actual avera, and the punishments that Yaakov suffers from, it does seem to be a very significant violation, meaning marrying two sisters. A Ben Yisrael is not allowed to marry two sisters. An Akub is allowed to marry two sisters, but not a Ben Yisrael. Now, if we turn back to Parshas Vayetze, we may get a glimpse of a possibility that Yaakov was not guilty of any sin at all in marrying two sisters. Now, in order to appreciate that, we need to see the juxtaposition of two episodes that are recorded in the Torah Parshas Vayetze. One is the Mara Asulam. Yaakov Avinu goes to sleep and he sees a vision of a ladder. And the pasuk says, "Vayikatz Yaakov Mishnasa." He wakes up. "Vayomer Achen Yesh Hashem Ba'Mokol Mazev Anochi Lo Yadati." Becomes aware of the fact that God and His presence is there in that place, right? Achen Yesh Hashem Ba'Mokol Mazev. And the very next parasha, which is the marriage of Rachel. Vayavo gam el Rachel, vayehav es Rachel milea, etc. Now, this vayavo gam el Rachel is what raises the question how Yaakov could marry Rachel once he's married to Leah, and he can't be married to two sisters. And perhaps the answer lies somewhere inherent in the earlier parasha, which is right before this one, of Yaakov having this dream, this vision of a sulam, and Anochi lo yadati. That achen yesh alokim b'makom hazeh anochi lo yadati.
So b'li neder, we're going to come back to this approach in just a few minutes to try to arrive at the conclusion that Yaakov Avinu is not guilty of a sin. So far, we've seen in three different sources, whether it's in the Yesh Mefarshim quoted in the Tzedek L'Derech, whether it's in Rabbeinu Bechai Black and White, and in the Shalah under the concept of Avak, we see that Yaakov Avinu was guilty of some sort of an Avera, of an Omon, of a Knas, as a result of the fact that he married Rachel and Leah, two sisters. In fact, according to the Shalah, the punishment was pretty severe, and Yaakov was going to have to experience the anguish of Kizona, Yasis, Avosedim, of Tumas, Dina, Bebes, Znunim, as a punishment, and Vayishkav, by Ruvain, Vayishkav, as Bila, Pilegish, Ovid. Two terrible episodes that are going to result, says the Shalah Kadosh, from the fact that Yaakov married two sisters. Two punishments. But as I said before, there's going to be another approach that Yaakov is not at all guilty of a sin, and that's going to be derived from the juxtaposition of two parshios, the smichas of parshios between Yaakov and the nevuah that he had, the sulam of the chaloma sulam, and the marriage between Yaakov and Rachel. But as I said before, to find that opening for a justification and the fact that Yaakov Avinu was not guilty of a sin, that we want to wait for a few more minutes, because first I want to present to you the amazing approach, pure genius, of the Chassam Sofer here in Parashas Vayishlach. And to appreciate the Chassam Sofer, we have to build ourselves on a few psukim and a Rashi as well. The psukim are read here. Vayvasa Yaakov levado, vayovek ish ima alos hashachar. And then, a few psukim later, it says, vayizrach lo hashemesh kasher ovar es pnuel v'hut solea al yurecha. So Rashi, in the name of the Medrash, tells us something fantastic. The Medrash darshaning a posuk in Malachi, Shemesh Sdoko Marpe Biknofeho. It means that HaKadosh Baruch Hu came with the Zricha Sachamo HaShemesh L'Rapos Es Tzol Oso. His Tzolea. In other words, Yaakov, the Pasuk says, was Tzolea, Hu Tzolea Yerecho, and that situation is going to continue up until Vayizrach Lo. Because Vayizrach Lo indicates the Shemesh, which is called in Malachi, Tztaka Umarpe, etc. So now we understand that this confrontation between Sarah Shalesim and Yaakov culminated with Zrichas HaShemesh, at which point the Shemesh is Merape Yaakov Avinu from Tzol Oso, and that's going to be critical to understand the Chassam Sofer. Says the Chassam Sofer, how is it possible that in all the sources that we saw before, that Yaakov is taken to task for the Avon, the Chet of marrying two sisters? After all, Mimonavshach. There's a famous Chakira. We don't know what the status of the Ovos was before Matan Torah. Did they have a din of Bnei Noach? Or did they have a din of Yisrael and they underwent some sort of a gerus before Matan Torah? If they had a din of a Ben Noach, then a Ben Noach is not enjoined for marrying two sisters. Ben Noach hari muta biachios. There's no achios for a guy. And how much more so if the two sisters are from the same father but not from the same mother, as in the case of Rachel and Leah. So let's say that Yaakov is being taken to task for marrying two sisters because his din, he's nidon ki Yisrael gomor, hanefesh asher asa b'charon, and all the other indications of Chazal that there was gerus before Matan Torah.
Okay, so now you want to judge him under the law of Yisrael. But under the law of Yisrael, we have a principle called Gershet Isgayar Kekotin Shenola Adomi. So if in the course of getting married to Rachel or Leah, the girls underwent Gerus, then they're not related to each other, not called the sisters, and there's no Isur Nisuin over here. Yaakov is certainly permitted to marry two sisters because of Ger Kikotin Shenola Adomi. So the only way, says the Chasam Sofer, that you could possibly find Yaakov guilty to any extent is if you give him both dinim. Give him the chumrah of being classified as both a Ben Noach and a Yisrael. And it works like this. Insofar as he's Yisrael, he's not allowed to marry two sisters, nor vas, we're going to say that Ger, Shinis, Gai, Kakot, and Shinol, here we're going to go Lechumra and consider them as B'nai Yisrael, as Igdin Yisrael, and therefore he's not allowed to marry two sisters. So it's only when you combine two dinim, which you and I would have said initially or intuitively are mutually exclusive, give him a Ben Noach status and give him a Yisrael status, the combination thereof is going to generate this Iser for Yaakov to be married to Rachel Leah. And why is that so? Because as far as the law of Ben Noach is concerned, there's no Gerus to undermine the relationship between, in this case, two sisters. Ella, what you'll say with a guy as a Ben Noach, Yaakov is allowed to marry two sisters. The answer is we're going to give him the Chumrah of Yisrael. And Yisrael is not allowed to marry two sisters. And says the Chasam Sofer, this is by placing both categories and both Chumras on Yaakov, in one person. Yaakov is one person. We are explaining the application of the universal rule that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is medagikim et tzadikim chud hasayra. This is unbelievable, chud hasayra. The mother of Shach Yaakov is not enjoined for marrying two sisters if he's a Ben Noach or is he Yisrael. So now you're going to say he's both. And he takes upon the chumras of both. Where do we find such a thing, says the Chasam Sofer? Is it possible to consider someone as both a Ben Noach and Yisrael at the same time and come up with, churn out this chumra that you're not allowed to be married to two sisters? Now, in order to appreciate that, could there be an overlap and at the same time of two mutually exclusive categories? We're going to turn to the definition of Yom and Laila. And the Chasam Sofer sees in Yom v'Laila worlds, symbolic worlds. So again, is there a period of time which is both Yom and Laila? And what is the significance of Yom and Laila? How does this kick in and have any impact on Yaakov Avinu and his status? In a Yadua, says the Chasam Sofer, Kikodem Matan Torah Hoya Ha'ulam Tohu V'Choshech. The Pasuk of V'Choshech Al Pnei Tohom is describing all those millennia that before the Torah was given. Ha'aretz Ha'isa Sovavo Choshech is Maseim Shal Rishon. Then Hashem declares He are. This already is a reference symbolically to the Maseim Shal Tzadikim. In other words, the Torah itself becomes a Zrichas HaShemesh Li'olam Vayihar. Do you follow? There's Choshech Al Pnei HaTohom, that's referring to the generations of before Matan Torah, all the Rishoyim. And then there's post-Matan Torah, that's Vayihar, that's Zrichas Shemesh. There doesn't seem to be a solution to that problem. How do you have an overlap between the two? Vehine, says the Chasam Sofer, Kichen ha'avol shekimu ha'Torah ad shlo nidnu nidonu b'shtei chumros nidmu la'amud ha'shachar shenosim olav chumre yom v'nudei v'chumre laila. So now this period of time of the Avos is a period of darkness. It's before Matan Torah. It's the reign of the Maseim Shal Rishoyim. But yet, paradoxically, since the Avos were Mekayim Kol HaTorah Kula Karam Shin Nitna, then even before Kabbalah Satorah, they, in a subjective sort of sphere of influence, a round circle, they had Kabbalah Satorah. And therefore, they were considered not darkness, but light.
Now, how can you place the Avos into these two periods of time of both the darkness of Kodem Matan Torah and the light of Li'achar Matan Torah? You're going to have to find a period of time which is both day and night. Says the Chasam Sofer, in fact, the Halacha does recognize such a period of time. And that's called the period between Amud HaShachar and HaNetzach Chamo. Call it a 72-minute period between the rise of the morning sun and daybreak when the sun actually appears on the horizon. And when the Pasuk says in Mishlei, V'orach tzadikim ka'or noga, holech v'or, neg nochan ayom, ad nochan ayom, it means that the Laila, which symbolizes or is a remez, if you will, for the Bnei Noach and the status as a Bnei Noach, lo yuchal lo, during the course of the night, there was no way of overwhelming Yaakov because there was no sin in Yaakov. As we said before, the Malach wanted to see if he's human being, flesh and blood, he's guilty of sin, or he's a Malach v'lo yochalo. And v'lo yochalo during the course of the night is an indication or is a result of the fact that Yaakov cannot be held to task as a Ben Noach for marrying two sisters. So at what point can we consider Yaakov, you know, not only under the law of Ben Noach, but also to be judged under the law of Yisrael? That's only with Amud HaShachar, because Amud HaShachar is no longer Laila, it's Yom. So now, during this period of time, past Amud HaShachar, with halachic, the emergence of halachic day, now Yaakov, you know, gets the status not only of Laila, but also of day. And that period of time, after Amud HaShachar, is both day and night. Now, what does that mean? It's both day and night. Well, the answer is that, for example, if you take a look in Kriyat Shema, the Machaber Paskins in Orchayim Hilchas Kriyat Shema Nunches, that if he couldn't read Kriyat Shema because of some onus until after Amud HaShachar, he can recite Kriyat Shema Shal Arvis up until but not beyond Hanetzach Chama. It's still considered night. But yet, if a person is Yotzei L'derech and he goes very early, he's allowed to read Kriyat Shema during this period of time after Amud HaShachar, because it's day. So we see that after Amud HaShachar, it's still called Laila as far as Kriyat Shema Shal Arvitz. It's already called Yom as far as Kriyat Shema Shal Shachris. And it's like a Bein HaShmashos, in which we have both Yom and Laila. It says, look, some Sofer, that's the status of the Bnei Noach. The status of the Avos, as both Bnei Noach, which is Laila, and at the same time as Bnei Yisro, which is Yom. And when we combine the two, we end up with a Chumra and an Avon of marrying two sisters. Because under the category of Bnei Noach, the sisters are sisters, meaning there's no Ger Kot and Shanola Dami under the category of Bnei Yisrael. They are two sisters, right? I mean to say that the Torah enjoins Yaakov from marrying two sisters, and now we're saying as Bnei Noach they are sisters because there's no Ger Kot and Shanola Dami. Hence, Yaakov Avinu was guilty of marrying two sisters because he had the status of that period of time, which is both Yom and Laila, both the period of darkness of the Rishayim and the period of Matan Torah, of Kabbalah Sat Torah, because of their self-acceptance, which is Yom. So it's both Yom and Laila. So for how long is Yaakov Avinu going to be suffering? So Le'al Yerecho. And the answer is for about 72 minutes. The Ganze Zach is only 72 minutes. The whole punishment that was meted out because of Yaakov Avinu's, you know, Kodesh Baruch Hu Medagdag him and Tzadikim Kudasari, giving him a double status of both Kodem Matan Torah, meaning out of Bnei Noach, and Lachem Matan Torah as a Ben Yisrael. That guilt is a Bein HaShmashos kind of guilt. It only applies during that 72 minutes in which there's both Yom and Laila. And that's what it means that when the sun rose, the Malach confessed defeat. During the night, he couldn't get to him because he was a Ben Noach, and a Ben Noach is not enjoyed from two sisters. With Zricha Sachama, he couldn't get to him. He couldn't find a chait in Yaakov Avinu because Ger Kot and Kikot and Shinola Dami, they're not sisters, they're not related to each other. But when could Yaakov Avinu be found, so to speak, guilty, in inverted commas, of marrying two sisters? Only during this 72 period of Yom and Laila. Yom as a Ben Noach, I mean, Laila as a Ben Noach and Yom as a Ben Yisrael, giving him both, heaping upon him both the chumras of both, that's when Yaakov was expected to, so to speak, reach this higher level of existence and not be married to two sisters. Again, technically, according to Allah, he's allowed to marry two sisters, but there's going to be a punishment, because how could it be such a tzaddik, HaKadosh Baruch Hu medagdik yichud asara, and if we combine these two status of both Yisrael and Benoach, then he is guilty of marrying two sisters. And maybe it means that HaKadosh Baruch Hu had to find, you know, had to make a example of punishment for someone who's married to two sisters. And Yaakov, you know, on his high level, again, it's a little bit similar to the Shalah. The Shalah says that the way to explain and justify Yaakov marrying two sisters with the Ramban's approach that it's Chutz Laaretz, but nevertheless Yaakov Avinu has this amazing superhuman category of Chakuka, Tzurasa Chakuka Kisei HaKavod, which gives him Chashivas of Eretz Yisrael even in Chutz Laaretz, and therefore Hashem is going to take him to task for this kind of avaka of arayis of being married to two sisters. In the Chasam Sofer's frame of reference, there's no real sin at all technically, because miman of shach, either he's a ben Yisrael or ben Noah, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu is medagdeg and piles upon him these two chumras, meaning the status of both of ben Noah of Laila and that of a ben Yisrael of Yom. Now, it's interesting that in Halacha, the paradigm of this overlap of Yom and Laila is Kriyat Shema, in which it could be Yotzei, both Kriyat Shema Shel Arvis and Kriyat Shema Shel Shacharis, paradoxically, in this period of time between Amud HaShachar and HaNeitzachama. And the reason why I emphasize Kriyat Shema is because, in a sense, Yaakov Avinu, his greatness is really tied to Kriyat Shema. What I mean to say is that the Kabbalah Zal Malch Shemayim represented by Kriyat Shema is something that Yaakov was able to instill on all of his children, Mitoso Shleima, all 12 Shvatim, not like Avram and Yitzchak. And when Yaakov Avinu gathers together his sons, all of them, at the time of his Ptira, Shema Bilvavchem, He suspected maybe someone doesn't have Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad in his mind, in his heart. Maybe there's some sort of at least nuance of a subtle machlokas with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And the brothers respond to Yaakov Avinu by saying, Shema Yisrael, Yisrael referring to Yaakov, El Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad, that all of us accept the one God with a total dedication, without any pickbook. And Yaakov Avinu responds by saying, Baruch Shein Kvod Malchus Ol Yolam Voed. And it's interesting. This is the paradigm of Kal Yisrael, that on Mashkimim U'marivim, the Medrash says, B'chol Yom V'yomim Shema Yisrael. And that's the Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad, that can be fulfilled during this period of time, that indicates Yaakov Avinu's greatness. And on his level, he's both Yom and Laila in this period of time of Mashkimim and Marivim, the Yom and Shema Yisrael. But as I said at the outset, there might be another resolution, another answer to the question as to why Yaakov is not in any way guilty of sin, based on the juxtaposition between two parshios, the parsha of the Mare HaSulam and the subsequent parsha of marrying the sister, marrying a second sister, meaning Rachel. And in order to appreciate that, we're going to bring in a chiddush here of Rav Shimshon Meastropoli, who's one of the great Balei Kabbalah a few centuries ago. And he says the following: Vayikatz Yaakov Mishnoso Vayomer Achen Yesh Hashem B'Mokom Hazeh. And then he says, Ve'anochi Lo Yadati. The Achen, Aleph Chaf Nun, is an allusion, a remez, to the Mara Nevua of Yechezkel HaNavi, in which he sees the Merkava. The Merkava is made up of four parts. Three parts are faces of animals, and one, the last, is that of a human being. Now, which chayos are inscribed, so to speak, or engraven on the in the chariot, the Merkava of HaKadosh Baruch, and the Kisei HaKavod? So the answer is the Aryeh, the Kruv, and the Nesha. You know, Kruvim and Arayos and Nesha, these are, if you look at the first letter of each of these words, these make up the word Achen, the Aleph of Aryeh, the Chaf of Kruvim, and the Nun of Nesha. And that's Rashi Tevis Achen. So Yaakov Avinu, when he wakes up, he says, Achen Yesh Hashem Bamokom Hazeh. In other words, I realize that this is like the earth's representation of the Merkava of Achen, of Aryeh Kruv and Nesha, that's on the Kisei HaKavod, is right down here at this Makom. This is a holy Makom. But what Yaakov is missing, or shall we say what he was missing when he went to sleep in that place, that piece of knowledge, was Anochi Lo Yadati. What's Anochi? Anochi means Yaakov Avinu. What I'm unaware of, I know of Achen, that's the Aryeh Kruv and Nesher, that's up in the Kisei HaKavod, but what I didn't know is Anochi. I didn't know that I myself. Now, Anochi is the same word Achen, just you add one letter, the Yud. So in other words, the Aleph Nun Chaf that represent the Aryeh, the Nesha, and the Kruv are right there in the word Anochi, but the Yud at the end of Anochi represents Yaakov. That's the fourth of the four Dmuyos in the Maisim, in the Merkava. So Yaakov Avinu now finds out that he himself, or shall we say his image, is Chakuka in the Kisei HaKavod, the Maisim Merkava, is Dmus Diukna Shel Yaakov Avinu. That itself, that knowledge is going to lead to the next parasha of Vayavo Gamel Rachel, of marrying the second sister. And the Ramban's kash is, how could Yaakov Avinu marry two sisters when the Ovos of Makabal Kolotar Kula and Makayimin? Says Reb Shimon Miastropoli, we have to know the reason why this Issa. Why does the Torah prohibit marrying two sisters? I mean, after all, the Torah allows you to marry two women, and if each woman per se is Heter, she's not an Erva, how do you generate an Erva by marrying two sisters? Is there any deeper meaning to this? So Reb Shimshon tells us that if you look in the parasha Yechezkel, the Ma'aseh of Merkava, you'll find the answer. Because up in the Merkava, there's Chovros Isha El Achosa. So in the divine sphere of the Merkava, there's Isha El Achosa. Now, Ben Noach is allowed to marry two sisters because he's on a much less sensitive spiritual level. But on a Jew, for a Jew, says Reb Shimon Anstropoli, he says that we have an Iser of being Mishtamesh B'Sharvito Shel Melech. Only up in the divine spheres, up in the Kisei HaKavod, is there such a thing as Isha El Achosa, the Chibur of Isha El Achosa. And I think what this means on a deeper level is that two sisters represent two different personalities, two different attributes and midos, two different approaches to Avodas Hashem. And to integrate these two into one, that's a divine sphere. That's only in the divine sphere. Man is not capable of being married to two sisters. The friction, the confrontation between two sisters is too great to unify them into one unit and make them into a family unit. So the family unit itself rejects the idea of two sisters being symbolically representative of what in the Maisa Markov is called Chavros Isha L'Chosa, is the divine integration of these two personalities and these that represent respectively different approaches to Avodas Hashem. And for Ben Yisrael to compete, so to speak, and try to imitate this unique divine sphere of behavior of Chavros Isha L'Chosa, that's called L'shtamish B'Sharvito Shel Melech. It's like you're usurping the divine powers. Man is not capable of marrying two sisters and integrating them into one indivisible unit. The exception to that rule is Yaakov Avinu. And why? Because Yaakov Avinu is called Kel. Yaakov Avinu is Dmus Diyukno Chakuk Al Kisei HaKavod. He's part of the Ma'aseh Merkava. He is part of that divine sphere, so to speak. He belongs to the divine sphere. He's almost a divine individual, a perfect individual. And when the Pasuk says in Parshas Korach, it says in Parshas Balak, it says in Bamidbar Chav Gimel, Lo Hibit Oven the Yaakov. Yaakov is Yaakov, not just Klal Yisrael, but Yaakov. And Lo Hibit Oven means that he, Yaakov, is not called a usurper of Mishtamish B'Sharvito Shel Melech, even though he married two sisters, which seems to belong exclusively to the divine sphere. How can a human being possibly integrate two sisters into one family unit that's so different? In the case of Rachel and Leah, they represent two different personalities, two different attributes, two different modes of serving Hashem. And we've discussed this in the past. Now is not the time. It's a long discussion, but Leah represents what's called the Avodas Pnim, which is within the four cubits of Kodesh. Rachel, on the other hand, represents Avodas Chutz, going out into the world and facing its challenges. How can you integrate these two midos? How can they both be married to Yaakov? In fact, in the original plan, as Leah figured it out, Leah was meant to be married to Esau, Rachel to Yaakov. How could Yaakov marry two sisters? And the answer is that Yaakov has this element of Sharvito Shel Melech, of being Demus Diukno. He's up there in the Chovros Isha Elechosa. He, Yaakov Avinu, as almost like a superhuman being on a very spiritual level, as a divine being, Vayikra Lokel, he is capable of integrating these two elements, these two personalities of a Rachel and a Leah. And Klal Yisrael is so much richer. Knesset Yisrael is the result of that integration of that one whole, which is made up of a Rachel, of an Avodas Chutz, Avodas Pnim, and a Leah Avodas Chutz. Yaakov creates that integration together with Rachel and Leah, and that generates Klal Yisrael. And to appreciate the divine element of Yaakov Avinu and his ability to integrate two sisters into one family, one unit, one marriage, one Knesset Yisrael, we have to be inspired, because that's what Knesset Yisrael is all about. It's an integration of so many different personalities, and each personality adds something and enhances the whole. The whole is greater than the sum of its parts. It's a new entity of Klal Yisrael, Knesset Yisrael, Miloshen Kinus. And that means Makabitz Nidcheyama Yisrael, means combining all these elements. And that's why we have to be so appreciative of different types of Jews. You know, recently there was an El Al plane that had to land because of Shabbos in Athens. And the Lubavitcher rabbi was able, in 4 hours' notice, he was able to put together a whole Shabbos of meals for Shabbos meals and challah and everything else, all the beautiful stuff for 150 people. But if you read the description of what the Shabbos was like, 150 people from different walks of life and different Ashkafot, and this one is Chassidish, and this one is Tzioni, and this one is this, and this was that, and they all got together at a beautiful unified Shabbos of Achdus. That's what we mean that Yaakov Avinu is divine, and Knesset Yisrael is up there, Chakuka al Kisei HaKavod. Yaakov Avinu is Lohibit Oven, the Yaakov is not Emishtamish B'Sharvito Shel Melech. On the contrary, he represents the integration of a Rach of a Leah, of different elements in Klal Yisrael coming together. He and Yaakov, and only Yaakov, is able to create that Knesset Yisrael. And that's why with daybreak, the Malach and Sarah Shalesa realize, Lo Yuchalo, he cannot this. And Chazal say that after this loss, after this defeat on the part of the Sarah Shalesa, he now considered Yaakov greater than him. And he realized the greatness of Yaakov. He brought somebody Zochah to such an appreciation for all of Divrei Torah, the beautiful insights here. Remember the Chassam Sofer. Let's not forget the insights of Rav Shimshon Astropoli, the Chidushim of Torah, the depths of Torah, and the depths of Klal Yisrael. And if we'll Zochah to see Klal Yisrael as a Knesset, as an entity of one indivisible entity made up of so many different Jews and so many different perspectives and personalities and modes of Avodah, will be Zochah surely to Yemos HaMashiach b'mheirah b'yameinu. Amen.